I'm glad you're here this absolutely beautiful morning to be reminded of the truth that you already know. It may be like a dream you know you had, you just can't quite remember it. We know something, but it's asleep. So this morning, we come together to hear with our inner ear and wake up the truth that we are ready and receptive to hear. Now, I'm going to make a statement of truth at the beginning of this lesson. And I'm going to restate it at the end. It's pretty simple. We've heard it said several different ways. Carrying it around with us in our attention will make changes in our lives that we desire. And this is the sentence. Nothing can come to us until we send it out. Now, people have known this for thousands of years. 700 BC, Isaiah wrote, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Perfect peace would be a pretty nice thing to live with. Until we keep our minds stayed on truth, we're going to be caught up in the worlds, up and down. It's not that we ignore what's going on in the world. It's just we don't believe it's the whole picture. And we do not react with emotion the way we used to. We used to be passionately involved with things that interested us. They were good or bad. And then we read, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace," not engulfed in wanting to make things better in the way we see better. We stop. We realize God is there. The fullness of good is there. I was reminded of this after Vi's service on Wednesday. Vi's daughter had given me biographic notes, and it was easy to combine those notes with what I remembered of Vi's telling me about her growing up. And yet, Vi's family knew that in addition to all of the earthly activities, that Vi meant to include her spiritual understanding. And she left notes that she wanted spiritual verses, Bible verses, to be included in her eulogy. Now, I was able to do that, and we know that people hear things at different times. In other words, we wake up to what's already planted in us at different times. And the great thing is, it doesn't matter how long it takes, because we have all of eternity to realize and live from our understanding that we are this moment God's beloved child. I was reminded that we hear differently. At the end of the service, of thy service, people came up, and I thought they would say, "She's the only person I know that wrote his or her own eulogy and included these spiritual verses." But people, that wasn't what attracted them. They were attracted to this really tough upbringing in weather that was 30 degrees below zero, in which all their children, there were seven of them in her family, and they played outside, they went sledding, they went ice skating, they walked to school, and they thought 30 below zero was normal. They all commented on that, and no one commented on the Bible verses that meant so much to her that they wanted us to include it in her final service. And that brings me to today's topic. What is prayer? Divine Science says prayer is union and communion with God. And in Matthew 6, that Carolyn read to us, Jesus Christ says, even before you start praying, it's necessary to drop all earthly considerations. Do not bring any problem or challenge or confusion with you when you settle down to pray. The world of matter, that physical, material world with its experiences and situations, that's completely separate from the world of spirit. That invisible reality in which everything is worked out, everything is resolved. And we know that because way back in the beginning, in Genesis, God looked at creation and pronounced it all good. Both this earthly understanding and the spiritual world occupy our minds. The earthly world is reached through our five senses and then interpreted through our brain. And all the while, the spiritual world is right there, the seat of power. It permeates everything, everywhere, with divine substance filled with love and wisdom. It is the spiritual world that is the cause and the beginning of all outer circumstances, and they can only be good because God is all there is. It's man's mind that bit the apple of duality and started man on the path described in the parable of the prodigal son. He thought he knew where his happiness lay. On his own, no oversight, money to eat, drink, be merry, and off he went. In the parable, it says he went to a far country. And after a time, his choice failed him. This outer world did not give him the freedom that he expected, that he thought it would. It didn't fill this inner void. And when he reached bottom, he realized he could only be saved by returning to his father's house. In the parable, he returned and was immediately forgiven by his father, who ran to meet him, showered him with gifts, a feast in his honor, no punishment. Spirit has different rules from earth. Love and forgiveness and a new start take place. We could look at the woman caught in adultery. No punishment, a fresh start. That's why, as we decide it's time to pray, to return to our Father's house, we leave all our mistakes, regrets, all earthly concerns, and just go home to find this divine presence permeating all. And we begin to feel that joy that can only be given from within. It is the Father within that bestows on us all of the inheritance of permanent, unchanging good. He wakes up the knowledge in us, gives us that inner intuition in which we know what we are to say and do. And this inner knowing has its own mechanism to succeed no matter what the odds. This is the same power that moved through Jesus Christ and restored life to the visible form as it already existed in the invisible realm. And this love and joy filling the inner void is what the prodigal thought he would find on his own out in the world. He learned that this unique fulfillment was always to be found at home. Another example was Saint Francis. He had everything the world could honor, could offer, and yet it didn't bring that contentment. He knew that he must leave all of that and allow what was already in him to express. I don't know the details of his daily life after he left his family's home, whether he lived in a monastery, maybe he taught, maybe he healed. I just know he did not regret leaving the values of the world. He found everything inside that he was seeking. And the opinions and circumstances and changing situations of the world could not diminish his inner fulfillment. Our individual search for happiness begins with a focus on getting it from the outer world. And as we move through these experiences, we find they change. They come and go. And yet, when we're ready, we find a path to a different kind of happiness. We give up our preoccupation with bringing happiness to us from the outer world, which can be pretty exhausting, and we begin to take time to get still. Stop thinking about and describing to ourselves all the things we want to see improve. We have had glimmers of peace and contentment, and we have experienced when, before you call, I will answer. And then the problem happens and it's already taken care of. We've also seen tangled experiences, complex situations become harmonious without our even getting involved. We are learning not to take these situations with us into prayer. We have decided that we are going to try this way that Jesus Christ told us to. Enter into our closet and shut the door. And what do we find? We find feelings instead of thoughts. Feelings of peace and love and joy and true place. And we find we are united in our awareness with our loving source, who is overjoyed to have us tuned in. We don't need words. They get in the way. Our feelings come to the fore. Feelings of forgiveness, love, gratitude. Before we have anything specific to be grateful for. In conclusion, what is prayer? Well, prayer is not words. It is trust. It is feeling. And then, at some point, the silence takes over. And we enter into another realm of certitude, of confidence. We hear this inner voice saying, there's nothing for you to do. You just are. And now I want to go back to that one statement of truth that I spoke of in the beginning. Nothing can come to us until we send it out. So we look at what we want to find in our world, our outer world. And we can go back several thousand years and see that if it's peace, We can say with Isaiah, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come to you just to be with you. We feel your presence, and we are fulfilled. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Miriam. With all that in mind, let's turn to hymn number 4 and sing, "Fill Me With Thy Presence, Lord."